making a rare party appearance. It's another guy on the comeback trail. It's David Cassidy. And girls, enter the Nair Hot Legs Contest.
The winner to guess will go to Miami Beach to compete for $10,000 in the finals.
For the ninth year in a row.
It's the Studio West Beach Party.
From KZZP, 104.7 FM, your number one hit music station.
It's Friday night, live. Nothing dead about it. KZZP.
I thought I would find somebody who really looked a lot like me.
Now, first of all, thanks for being on the show with
us
this morning. And
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys.
Well, yeah, we're gonna get to meet you tonight.
Yeah.
And you're going to be here signing autographs and all that stuff tonight. But we want to talk about what you've been doing. And one of the things you were going to come on, that you were going to be in Phoenix this morning to be on the show, but you've been busy working on the album.
In fact, I'm on my way over to the studio right now. I have a delivery date. I have a deadline, and I have to finish it on Monday. And as most projects do, they get a little bit behind. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting it done. I've been in the studio 7 days a week for the last, 12 weeks.
Ooh,
so this is the very first, outside of the other night when I went to New York to do the Rock Awards, this is the very first PA that I'm doing, and probably...
PA, what's that, public appearance?
Pardon me?
What, PA?
PA, yeah.
What's that?
Public appearance, right?
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, is that what that... I've never heard it called that before. But,
well, I just had it called a PA on my camera. So I assume that's what it is. I didn't know it stood for anything.
Yeah. Now, the album, and this is the first album you've done in how long?
I made an album in England about in 1985. It did very well in Europe. And my record company was bought up by another company, and it never came out over here other than an import shop. So it's the first album I've made in 12 years.
Now, what's the album like that you're working on now?
I think it's there are lots of different sort of kinds of music, but I would say basically it's pretty much rock and roll. And I think people are, what I have gathered from people that have been sticking their heads in and coming around, that people are going to be quite surprised or shocked by it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. When's it going to be in the stores?
Well, I think we're talking about the single out in September 10th, and I think the album will be out the end of September, probably in the stores October 1. But I started writing this thing about 3 years ago, and I've written all but one of the songs on the album. So it's, I think, probably somewhat autobiographical. It has definitely got an edge to it, and I'm just really looking forward to people hearing it.
Now, David, can we look forward to a tour after the album?
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
Now, you play all your own instruments on this one, right?
Well, I don't play all the instruments.
Now, wait a second.
I mean, I'm not playing Danny Bonaducci's bass, if that's what you're asking.
You know what? I was talking to him one time, not to be a name drop or anything, like I talk to stars all the time, but he told me that on the Partridge Family, when it first started, for the first 10 episodes or so, nobody told him that you don't strum a bass. that he spent
he's
the
lying.
First... the first
I told
ten...
him in the pilot... it was great. I would go in the studio at night because I was the only guy that would do anything. I would play and sing on these records. And in fact, I'd be playing with Larry Nechtel, Hal Blaine, Larry Carlton, who's an extremely successful jazz fusion guitar player, and phenomenal musicians. And we would go in and cut at night, and a week or so later, I would come back and I would play the track for everybody in television land and of course, all of the cast.
Right.
And because I was there and somewhat, I guess, responsible for showing them what their parts were, none of them could play. It was rather amusing seeing Susan Day and seeing Danny Bonaducci playing all of their parts.
Yeah, now
you can only imagine. I guess you had to have been there, Dave.
Well, Danny Bonaducci was telling me the story one time, and Danny Bonaducci tells an awful lot of stories.
Yeah,
and great guy though.
He's a liar. Let's be honest.
Is he a liar? You know, he told me this story one time how he got held at gunpoint with a machine gun. I don't know. Does this story check out with you?
Yeah, of course it is.
Of course, but he told me the story about how now the first. Chris? The first little boy drummer.
That's right.
He didn't last but one season.
That's true.
Now, most people haven't heard the story.
No, well, the story goes, he walked onto the set, he ran onto the set one morning, and he, as far as he ran right up to me, as we were standing on the stage, pulled back his leg and kicked me in the shin as hard as he could.
Oh!
I had the kid fired. No, no, I'm kidding. His parents were moving back to New York, and I think they felt that it was not doing him personally a lot of good, and emotionally it was not working out very well for him. And I think that they had different kinds of aspirations for him as a human being. And I think the producers of the show, I think, respected that and felt that he was, frankly, not someone they couldn't replace.
Well, I heard that he was just a jerk and he was hard to work with. That's
I never said that.
That's
you
what
say that, Dave.
What I heard was that
Danny probably would have said that.
What Danny said, and you're probably just being too nice to say this. I don't know. Maybe Danny was lying, but he said that that the kid would want to play his drums when you guys were trying to tape or film something else.
Yeah, the kid was a problem. Let's be honest.
The kid was a problem, you guys.
Well, David, was a jerk.
We saw you the other night on the International Rock Awards, and everyone keeps saying how young you look. You look exactly the same.
I guess it's all that collagen and that stitching that I've been doing.
Yeah, a little nip and tuck.
No, no surgery.
No.
A long time ago, I made a choice that, you could do the drug, alcohol, let's drag your face along the gutter. And people who have done that for many years, we can see how they look. The alternative to living is death, and I've just thought, I really don't have that many days on this planet, so I'm gonna really start enjoying them. And I feel great about what I get to do with my life, and I'm happy. And I don't know, I think a lot of it's just genetic. That is, I said it, a lot of collagen shots, probably.
You just got good genes.
That's great, because I'll tell you something. Know. I
keep saying that about the collagen, and people are probably taking me seriously.
Yeah, right. Get those injections.
Yeah, the injection treatment.
We were watching the awards the other night.
Yeah.
And we were watching for you, and we were amazed at how young you looked and things like that.
Right.
And we saw Dee Snider on and stuff. But give us some inside gossip. What happened backstage that nobody knows happened backstage the International Rock Awards?
Well, I watched Bo Diddley take a dump. I mean, I don't know if that's important.
Excuse me?
No.
I'm sorry. He did what?
Never mind.
Okay.
You didn't hear
that. Wow.
Oh,
are you
seeing it? You mean like rock and roll gossip?
Yeah.
Oh, did you know, I think I was outside of Elton John's wonderful behavior in Los Angeles, I think that my T-shirt was probably the talk of the
evening. Now, they were talking about your shirt,
yeah.
And they said, as a matter of fact, I think Sam Kinison...
I have a sense of humor about life.
Well,
know?
Sam Kinison said that he's got the coolest shirt, but you couldn't see it on camera. Now, is it something you can repeat?
Well, some people did. It was the very thing, I think everybody's got to have a cause, Dave, and mine is Save the Gerbils.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. And that was...
I won't say any more about that, except know that it is my own personal little crusade.
Well, here's an interesting point.
Innocent little animals are being mistreated, and we've got to do something about it.
Well, we get the idea.
Now, here's something that when you talk to John McKay, John is here also. Say hi to Dave, John. Hi, Dave.
Okay. Hi, John.
Now, that's John McKay. Now, I want to tell you something about John McKay. When he goes into a pet store, all the gerbils bark. So So John will stay away from him. Is that true, John?
Okay.
Defend yourself, John.
Now, you're in L.A. right now.
I'm in L.A., yes. I think I'm in L.A.
What time are you, when are you going to come out here tonight?
I'll be up there, I don't know, I think they have me getting into,
Phoenix
sometime around 8 or 9 o'clock. I should be where you are. I think I was told around 9 o'clock.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
That sounds right.
I'm one of those ignorant artists that they just drive up to pick me up. Like, they throw me in the back of the car. And
they warned us about that, though. So
where am I? Oh, is it Phoenix?
It is Phoenix.
Actually, I have been to Phoenix a couple of times in my life. Cool little town, isn't it? What's it, about 140 today?
At least something like that.
Sure.
And John wants to know, John has grown sideburns. He's a big fan. We're all big fans. John has grown sideburns because he wants to impress you.
He did.
Do you still have the sideburns?
Obviously, that's because I can't grow them.
You
I'm
can't.
I'm still waiting for my beard to grow in on that side, you know.
So you don't have sideburns, Dave?
No, man.
Should I shave them off before tonight?
No, wait. I think probably what you're doing is you're having one of those bad acid flashbacks.
Yeah.
I never made records in the 60s, okay? Let's distinguish between 60s and 70s.
Here. Well, they had sideburns in the 70s.
I didn't have them.
Oh,
geez. What are you thinking of, John?
What a,
I don't know.
What a loser. I'm sorry.
Did Reuben Kincaid have them or what?
Reuben Kincaid. Of course.
Oh, I see.
Now, two quick.
I was the guy with all those really bad multicolored shirts.
And the funny pants, too.
Yeah, no, the striped pants were the 60s.
All right.
Okay.
Now, about the music, a couple of quick questions.
Yeah.
I know you haven't got all day to yak to a bunch of obnoxious disc jockeys on the radio.
Oh, I do, actually.
Okay, well, great. Here, we'll just go get some lunch and we'll hang out.
Okay.
Now, the record that you're working on now,
yeah.
Who is anybody helped you produce it? Is anybody else appearing on the record with you?
Well, it's not one of those all-star records. In fact, it's really... as I said, I co-wrote most of the album with my writing partner, Sue Schifrin, and she's written a lot for a lot of artists and written a number of hits. E.T. Thorngren, who produced, amongst others, Robert Palmer,
wow.
who produced most of the album. Phil Ramone, who I guess was responsible for most of Billy Joel's records
sure.
over the years. But it's got, you know, the producers are not the hits. I think that ultimately the merit of where we stand and how we judge an album is really on the material and the songs. And they're by far the best songs I think I have ever written. And I've gone through, as I said, I started writing about almost 3 years ago. And I can't wait for people to talk about the record, about for me to say, geez, how good it is. And I know that you're probably really wanting me to say that. Yeah, I think it's very different. I think it shows a depth and who I am. And people are not really prepared, having seen me as an actor, assuming that was who I was. And that those songs that I sang, as good as they were my choice. I think the people have trouble distinguishing, and always have with my image, as to who David Cassidy was and who the character I was playing was. The songs that I used to sing, I say nothing bad about them. There were some very good songs, but they were not songs that I would have chosen for me.
Yeah, they were more like the Keith Partridge-style
exactly.
songs.
And I was playing a character.
Yeah, right.
Those were the songs the guy had to sing.
Yeah.
And that's always been a difficult one. So I think people are going to be very surprised by it. You know, I'm not 19 years old anymore, and I've been through hell and back, as they say. Being out of the business for quite a long time and having retired and left it, and indeed leaving it on top and never going back and playing that lounge in Toledo.
Yeah, good
you
for
know,
you.
I never ended up, I think, tarnishing that, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I said I would never go back and do an oldies tour and be an oldies act.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to going out on tour and playing again, because now I can play a lot of the old stuff. If you have a present, you can go back and have a past. So that's really exciting to me.
That's a good point. We can't wait to hear the album.
Yeah, we do it.
Now, we're going to look for you tonight. You'll be out here tonight signing autographs and stuff.
I'm looking forward to seeing all you.
And I don't want to look back, but we do have to. Now, naturally, we got to play.
I don't care.
We got to play.
No, I can't.
What?
I was going to say maybe I'll bring a demo or two of some of this.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
We'd love to hear it.
Let me talk to my record company, see how they feel. Maybe I'll play a track and...
Excellent.
Maybe a little taster. I don't really have anything to play that's finished because it's not mixed, but maybe I'll bring you a demo of some of the stuff that you can look forward to hearing, at least in terms of songs.
Fantastic. Good luck with the album. We'll see you tonight.
Great.
David Cassidy, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for being on with us. We'll see you tonight. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. David Cassidy, it's 11 until 10.
Yeah. Want to sit down?
Sure. We can do a quick minute. I'm actually not high. I'm kind of not doing a lot of press now, but
really?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna wait until the record comes out.
Okay. Well, if you don't want me to do anything, I could.
You could hold it off until the record comes out. That'd be great.
Sure, I can do that.
I just let's have a chat then. I'm here.
Yeah. So this is the first album since Romance, which never made it out here.
That's right.
Why now did you decide to go back and do the record and not do another movie or another play?
I've just done two films this past year, and I have been writing over the past 3 years, really not with the intention of making a record. I went on the Mark and Brian radio show a year ago, and I got three offers from three different record companies. I just played them some demos.
Really?
Yeah, so...
And that's how you hooked up with Enigma?
Enigma showed tremendous enthusiasm and desire to sign me. The whole company, the head of the company called me in my house and told me exactly how they envisioned. And I just didn't want to get into a situation where I was going to be disillusioned.
Right.
I wanted to know I would be with a label that would not be sold or eaten up, and I'd get the record done and there'd be a whole new promotion staff there. I wanted a certain sense of stability. And I like the fact that they're into alternative kind of music. I just liked everything about them. And, they said the magic words, which is we really see, we don't want to make a record try and sell you based on your past, based on what you are today. And that's, they saw me, I guess, as a songwriter and a singer, and that's why they signed me.
So what does this stuff sound like? Does it sound like the three you played on the Mark and Brian show? Are you using those three?
In fact, not one of them are on my album.
Really?
But they're good songs, one of which is going to be cut, it's going to be on the next Cher album. One of which is on the new Asia album.
Yeah, which one's on Asia? I'll Never Stop Loving You?
Oh, no, that's the one that Cher's cutting.
That's the one that Cher.
Yeah. I take that back. I forgot what I played on Mark and Brian.
You played I'll Never Stop Loving You, Crazy Over You, and Treat Me Like You Used To.
Crazy Over You and Treat Me Like You Used To did not make my record. That's to tell you how good the songs on my record are. Yeah, honestly. They weren't good enough. And they were good songs, and I'd like to put them on. But they're good songs. They're just not hits. And they don't expose enough about myself. And I think I really made an effort to try and reveal a lot about my own pain and my own personal life and path in my life.
Are you writing all the songs?
Nine of the ten.
Nine of the ten?
Yeah.
Which two?
Yeah. Amongst others, Mark Spiro and Mike Reno and I wrote a song together.
Who are they?
Mike Reno is the lead singer of Loverboy. Mark Spiro is a very successful songwriter, singer. He's about to be signed to Atlantic. I actually don't write that. Until it gets signed, it's a very dangerous thing to do, especially about your friends. He wrote a couple of the Bad English records.
Really?
And a Giants record.
So you're working with Phil Ramone.
Yeah.
Ethan Darngren
produced most of the record.
Now who is that? That's
E.T. I'm going to lose my voice. I'm singing, and if I continue to yell from this, pull your ear over me.
Okay.
E.T. Thornwind is, he produced the last couple of Robert Palmer albums, Addicted to Love, Simply Irresistible, all of that great stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of in that vein, you know.
It's in that vein?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not Robert Palmer, but it's that. I would say it's more rock oriented. But
is,
I am.
Is it at all reminiscent of like the RCA albums?
Yeah, really? I would say it has more of a personal feel.
Like those did.
Like those did. Yeah.
You think? I've always been.
more, a lot more edge to them, though, you know, and a certain sense of continuity, I think, in terms of the material. I've worked really hard on getting the songs right and writing hit songs as opposed to just good songs. Like, songs like Crazy Over You, the old days I would have recorded that and put it on the album. And I like the song a lot, but it just isn't quite strong enough. Nowadays, it's such an important thing to get it right. You can't afford to fail, you know? Yeah. I mean, you can't afford to fail on that artistic level.
Baby, I love the way that send me all.